We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We're talking even more 2021 NFL draft reaction on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up, Roto-Viz?
Welcome into the Roto-Viz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Dave Cabin. Alongside Travis May, our deputy coordinator and host of the College to Canton podcast, and a man that is crushing it so much, I'm not sure that we're going to let Curtis even come back.
Yeah, you had a good run, Curtis. It's been great. I do love hanging out with you, and I like your voice. It's really sexy, to be honest. But yeah, I'm moving in. So
yes, Curtis definitely has the radio voice out of the.
He's got that going.
He definitely has that going. He's got a great radio voice. Colm has a terrific voice. You listen to that and you just feel like peaceful and serene. But I think you're doing pretty good, Travis. So I'm looking forward to popping in here to close out our third episode of the week. Now, we get to start with a tight end here, Hunter Long, who last episode, we were talking about some of the young up-and-coming prospects from your state of Tennessee. I live in New Hampshire, a state not known for producing NFL-caliber players, really athletes at all. In fact, it's such a small lift that I can name them. It's like Matt Bonner, who played for the Spurs for a while, who was really good. There was a pitcher in baseball who's escaping me right now, Dave Philistine, who played at Maryland, went to my rival high school, played in the NFL, I think for the Seahawks for a bit. And I literally may have just described just about everybody that has come out of New Hampshire.
No, it's okay. Like where I'm from, there's like nobody. Like we've got Jay Cutler. Like who cares?
Yeah.
And by the way, Jay Cutler is from Santa Claus, Indiana. That's like 40 minutes from where I live. Yeah, that's a legit place. That's real. You can go to Holiday World. Like it used to be just Santa Claus Land initially. So check it out. Then they got free sunscreen and free soft drinks. There you go, Holiday World. Get sponsored on Roto-Viz. Boom.
Nice. So Hunter Long, actually from Exeter, New Hampshire, went to Boston College on his career receiving dominator of 0.2. In his 2020 junior season, ends at 22.3 years of age, 11 games, 5 touchdowns, receiving market share of 0.24. Those are the type of numbers that you're going to see from tight ends as they enter the league. Does comp with guys like Jason Morrow, Lance Kendricks, Aaron Hernandez, Jared Cook, the most exciting one you can get, Travis, Kelce, not sure if we really want to say that that's a super good comp. Then, of course, you guys like Jake Butt, Josh Oliver, Ed Dixon, Cole Kmet, and Jonnu Smith. He was fast, put up a 86th percentile 40, weighs 254, stands 6'5". Your thoughts on Hunter Long, and if it's possible that Miami thinks he could be what they were hoping they would get with Mike Gesicki. Of course, some people might argue that what they got with Mike Gesicki is pretty good, but it's interesting that they made this pick.
Yeah, so I liked Hunter Long, especially after his 2019 season, which was his sophomore year at Boston College. Boston College doesn't really throw the ball a bunch. They're not known for just churning out a bunch of NFL wide receivers. Like, they were good back when Matty Ice was there, and they finally found a signal caller in Phil Jurkovec this past year. And Zay Flowers, their lead wide receiver, probably has an NFL career that could kick off next year as well. But Hunter Long really stood out as this rare kind of almost deep threat or yak threat in 2019. Only had 28 catches, but took those 28 catches for over 500 yards as a tight end. And in college, that doesn't happen for the most part. Like, production profiles for tight ends are just bad, just frankly awful in college football across the board. And to be as efficient as he was on those 30 receptions, that said, hey, there's some potential. Enter 2020, they bring in a competent passer. They start airing it out. And after like week three or so, Hunter Long's actually leading the nation for part of an afternoon in receptions. And so, like, you're like, oh my gosh, this guy might have a chance. I look into him more and I realize, holy cow, this dude was running in like the 4.5s in high school. This guy's going to be a top tight end next spring. And so I was like, I was getting really pumped. And when he actually got day two capital, it's like, okay, all right, you got my attention. He was my tight end 4 before, probably my tight end 3 or 4 now. Really excited about what Long could do.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. And of course, this is a team that has added now Jaylen Waddle in the draft. You know, you have Tua at quarterback. It's a young team. They did not address the running back position, which is interesting with Myles Gaskin. But we have an interesting picture here of what this team could look like. So, you know, like, I think as far as the tight ends in this class go, you still should be kind of interested in him. Of course, there's a couple other names we'll talk about later. And one of those, actually, let's skip down to it. We'll skip a player that you said you could talk about for 60 minutes. And let's hit on Tommy Tremble. who I actually, you know what? It's so funny. I forgot. Do you remember what pick he went at?
I don't the exact not the exact pick slot. I don't. All right, he was a day two guy as well. Yeah, round 3.
Let's look this up live.
Sure.
Great radio. I'm looking up. Perfect. Tommy Tremble went to the Carolina Panthers at in the 3rd round at pick. We are about to find out here. At pick 83.
I love your stall voice.
Thank
you. At pick 83. Okay. Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, once you get out like the top 70 or so, that's, you know, that's a solid day two pick.
Yeah. So this is a guy that went to Notre Dame. If you pull up his profile, you will see on his career just 4 touchdowns, just 400 yards. Is there a backstory to this? Does Notre Dame just not utilize the tight end position at all? What should we do with this? A player with 4 career touchdowns and just 400 yards as a tight end going at pick 83 to Carolina.
So Notre Dame and Brian Kelly, they're interesting because they can actually develop the heck out of like some 3-star guys on the defensive side of the ball. And even, you know, some offensive playmakers, they'll do that. But when they get a really good player with tons of pedigree, they generally just forget that they're on the team. So like their senior year and they're like, oh, hey, well, crap, we got to get you drafted. Here's 50 catches. And like they do that all the time. Like even Claypool, like he had a later breakout. Equanimeous St. Brown kind of had an imperfect production profile from our standards. You know, even like the top names that you would know, that's what they do. Like Kevin Austin was supposed to be a thing this year. Didn't work out. Javon McKinley ended up being the dude. Who the heck is that guy? Like they just really waste top tier talent and don't mess around with targeting the tight ends enough. Even like their top ones, like Elise Mack, you know, and a few other names, but they finally started targeting their 5-star tight end this year in Michael Mayer, but you're going to have to wait to see him in the NFL till 2023. So sorry about that wait, but Tommy Tremble just was not the receiving tight end because they're like, hey, you're an offensive lineman slash monster of a person that can throw people around with one arm. We should probably have you block some. And so he just does that. Like, you should just Google Tommy Tremble blocking highlights. There's real, there's people make highlight reels of just him throwing people around. It's great. And so he's going to do that and have a high snap count early on. But I also believe he can catch the ball too. He only has like 35 receptions, but he can do it. And he's got athleticism more than I thought he had. Ran what, a 4.6? He's got vertical speed. He's got the size, prototypical size, and he can throw people around, like I said, with one arm and dominate. So I think he's going to have a significant role. And he's actually moved up, I believe, actually I double checked, and he is my tight end 3 now. He was, I believe, my tight end 5 prior to the draft.
All right, hey, that's you could do a lot worse than that. So that's really interesting. And tight ends always, I feel like, such a tough position to try to make sense of, just because the body of works from college are so small. So, you know, a lot of players you could point to their total career production, and if you're trying to think of it through a wide receiver lens, it's just not going to be there. So we'll have to see how that pans out. But the player that I think you are going to be most excited to talk about this evening is Diami Brown, who went at pick 82 to Washington, comes out of North Carolina, career receiving dominator of .26, 21 receiving touchdowns in 32 games, comps to guys like Randall Cobb, Brian Hartline, Josh Reynolds, Deontay Johnson, Bruce Ellington, Kiki Kuti. What do you think of Brown? Why do you like him so much? And is this a landing spot that he can prosper in, given that the team recently brought in Curtis Samuel, also has Terry McLaurin?
Yeah, we're looking at a guy who has a career over the past 2 years. He's got a deeper average depth of target than any other wide receiver in the entirety of Division I football, both seasons. Led by far, it was by multiple yards even in terms of average depth of target last fall. And still really cleaned up any drop issues that some people expressed were a concern after the 2019 season. But we're looking at a guy that has 2 1,000-plus yard seasons with at least 50 catches, averaging about 20 yards per over 2 years, and just dominating as a vertical threat, not even just relying on his speed, but doing so through technique. And I think that that's really underrated. And then you will get his production profile from any lens, and it's good enough. He comes in with a 71st percentile adjusted production index. Of course, looking at his dominator rating, his yards per team, yards per team pass attempt, and his touchdowns per team pass attempt, proving that he can take on, over 30% of an offense and be efficient in doing so, having like yards per team pass attempt marks, 90th percentile plus, and scoring at a pretty high rate as well. Really just love what he does. And if you look at his best matchups, I know like with week-to-week matchup data, like if you're looking for DFS stuff, you always look about like who they're lining up against. And his resume is just riddled, like chock full of dominating future first round corners. Like when one of my favorite plays from his career, he was lined up against AJ Terrell, who was a first round pick to the Falcons. And he waved over to Sam Howell before the ball was even snapped and said, basically, hey, I'm open, and just completely burned the guy on a double move and scored against Clemson, no less, and almost basically single-handedly won the game for North Carolina. So I could probably talk for way too long about Diami Brown, but I just love the player, and I love the opportunity, and I love that he got some capital to back it up.
Yeah, so, I mean, this should be a pretty interesting fit because, yes, there's McLaurin there. Yes, there's Samuel. But year one, he's going to get that gunslinger in Ryan Fitzpatrick now, who should allow him to make some plays. And Curtis Samuel excelled in Carolina last year. But I think that it might be fair to say that when you're comparing Samuel and Brown, Brown is pretty realistic, is going to step in and push Samuel down that depth chart.
I definitely think so. And if you look, they were just desperate for any kind of decent wide receiver two play, that they basically made JD McKissick their wide receiver two and Logan Thomas this retread tight end receiving threat that, I mean, it was cool. He was successful last year, but I think they desperately wanted somebody to come up and just do something beyond what Terry McLaurin was doing. And so I think if we look at what Fitz has done in propping up some wide receivers and
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
In limited windows, I think he could do that a few times with Diami Brown. And people obviously thinking that McCorn is going to be the first option, that's going to open up some space for Diami Brown. And I'm confident he's going to have a significant chunk of the market share early on for the Washington football team.
So the two questions I would have off of that if you're in a startup this year, is he one of those guys? Because you seem to really like him. Is he one of those guys that you're trying to target and get on your team? Or are there other wide receivers that might be going in that same range that you prefer? Maybe like Elijah Moore?
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S.-licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication's appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/RotoViz. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
I think I still like Elijah Moore,
yep.
But they're guys I definitely like more than a bunch of the guys that they're going around. Yep. Like I believe Diami Brown is my, in terms of all the rookies in Superflex and tight end premium formats, Diami Brown, I believe, is my 15th rookie, which I think I have him maybe higher than anybody else on the RotoViz team. But yeah, he's somebody that I'm okay reaching a little bit for just to make sure I have him on my team. I already had him on a couple Debbie rosters and college to Canton leagues where, you know, you carry, but I'm not even going to explain that, but deep nerdy fantasy football leagues. I already had him and I've already drafted him again in rookie draft season. I'm just ready to have all the Diami Brown.
Absolutely love it. All right. We have not talked about running backs, I feel like, nearly at all, because I was trying to grab ones or just players here that got interesting draft capital. I want to go a little bit different direction here and talk about a player that went undrafted because he's a RotoViz darling this year, and that is Mr. Javian Hawkins, who now ends up in Atlanta. Atlanta really deciding that they're not going to address this position in the draft. Mike Davis is there. As a team, we were talking about this over the weekend. We actually think that this could work out pretty well for Javian Hawkins. Can you just break down some of your thoughts? You know, I've talked a lot about it. Blair has written about him as well. What do you think of this landing spot and Hawkins, given everything we know about his profile from Louisville?
Yeah, so Javian Hawkins was the focal point, the feature back of the Louisville offense under Scott Satterfield. Satterfield really changed things when he came in. And really found some instant success in 2019. You know, Malik Cunningham is a decent quarterback, but, you know, not, he's basically almost like a running back in and of himself. So all the rushing yards essentially came through the quarterback position. And then Javian Hawkins, who's like this super undersized guy, but has a crazy high breakaway run percentage and crazy yards after contact numbers for a guy that's that small, and just does a lot of things well. I know you wrote things up, even in the RotoViz rookie guy, just talking about all the boxes that he checks. The only things that he doesn't really do or he hasn't proven on a large scale, is that, you know, a smaller guy, you normally see a better receiving profile. But that actually kind of has to do with the nature of what Satterfield has done and not targeting the running backs. I wish he would actually spend some time breaking down the reasoning behind his scheme, but I think there's a reason that he doesn't. If you look at the efficiency numbers of his passing, even from a guy who's like not necessarily the best passer in Malik Cunningham, like just at the average depth of target and the exact route combinations, his entire offense is very analytics based. Mm-hmm. And so in terms of expected values, I think that's built into how they structure their reception distribution. And I could go on about that for a sec, but I really, Hawkins can catch passes. He just hasn't done it in a large sample. So going into a situation where you only have Mike Davis really in front of you that I'm really worried about, he's probably in the best undrafted free agent position to succeed across the entirety of the NFL.
Yes. I mean, I was worried about Hawkins a couple of weeks ago, started to get a little bit worried as it looked like we just weren't going to see a draft capital that was going to allow him to prosper. Then the draft starts happening, and I'm like, come on, Javion Hawkins, Javion Hawkins, Javion Hawkins, come on, somebody draft him, somebody take a chance, somebody take a chance. And then this strange thing happens that he just ends up landing in a situation where you have this older back in front of him who's had spots where he's been good. Last year he had all kinds of opportunity, did a little bit with it, but there's really nothing that Mike Davis is doing in that Atlanta offense that says there's no way Javion Hawkins is going to come in, find time immediately, and get a useful role. So, you know, it's possible that, you know, Hawkins could have gone to another team in like round 4 or 5 and had to sit on that bench. I mean, it's very likely that this team needs to start to use him right away. So you have this really weird situation where, though he's an undrafted free agent, I'm actually feeling much better about him now post-draft than I thought that I ever would. So I really like it. You're nodding your head. It seems like you're pretty excited about him too. You just talked about it. Any other thoughts on Hawkins from what I said there?
Yeah, it's just like, I think given his size and how this draft season went and how this class was going to shape up at the running back position, it was basically understood, okay, we like Hawkins, but he was going to be a day three guy anyway.
Yep.
So like maybe if everything was perfect, he was going to be a fourth rounder. You make it to round 5, it's like, okay, somebody please draft him. But at the same time, round 6 and 7 guys, like they're the equivalent essentially of undrafted free agents, especially in terms of hit rates and really meaningful NFL production.
Yep.
So yeah, bring it on. Let's if I'm going to take a shot on anybody in the round 6, round 7 guys, like I don't care about Gary Brightwell from Arizona. Like get through that. Like I'm still believing that Hawkins could have a role.
Awesome. Absolutely love it. All right, the final thing that I will leave listeners with this week, and then you can maybe share a player that falls into a similar mold here, is Amon-Ra St. Brown, via the fact that he is going to the Detroit Lions, actually crept up my board. I feel like this is a spot where, though Jared Goff is there and this team might not be the most exciting, we don't know exactly what they're going to do with the new coaching staff in town. It's very realistic that he comes in and starts challenging Tyrell Williams and Breshad Perriman for usage and basically gets forced into being one of the players that has to get used in that offense. Yes, they have TJ Hawkinson there, but really, as far as other pass catchers go, there's just not a lot there. And I have been holding to the fact that I think St. Brown is the type of guy that does have the requisite skill level to produce. So I think that we might even start to see it year one. Let me know if you're on board with that. And then after that, maybe another player we haven't mentioned, but that you think landed in a good situation.
Yeah, so I think with Amon-Ra St. Brown, it's interesting. He's probably got the best opportunity for receiving yard market share that he's had since high school, just because of how the USC offense is structured. They basically spread it out all the time. There's like 4 wide receivers on the field at all times. They refuse to just have the quarterback on the ball ever. It might be 4th and 1/2 inch, and they'll be in shotgun no matter what. 4 wide receivers on the field, that's just how they roll. And so the target distribution and what they ask their wide receivers to do, you're never going to see a guy take over 40% of the offense, like and check all the analytics boxes that we want to see. But when you look at Amon-Ra, it's a guy who was like the number one wide receiver or the number two wide receiver in his entire recruiting class, and smashes for a couple of years in terms of raw production. And even in a limited sample size last year, was the touchdown scoring machine for USC. Just didn't take a huge chunk of the offense, but he's in a situation where he could be the best wide receiver in the room, even though he didn't get the most ideal capital. So I am believing in him, and I think collectively we are like putting him over some guys that got the day two capital that we like to see. So I like him a lot. But one guy I was not super high on throughout the process, but I have to give a nod to, given the opportunity, and we kind of hashed this out a little bit in our ranking summit on Saturday night. But Amari Rodgers goes to the Packers. That's a situation where, okay, well, he's in a good spot with, today, as of this recording, Aaron Rodgers is still the quarterback. Davante Adams hasn't decided to check out, although he was cryptically tweeting this week about, you got to appreciate stuff while you have it. Amari Rodgers looks to be in a situation where he could have some pretty decent target share, unless you're really believing in, Alan Lazard or Marquez Valdes-Scantling or somebody else there. But he looks like he could be the wide receiver too for Green Bay. And even though he was basically never the guy until his final season for Clemson, he was competing with a bunch of really good future NFL wide receivers like T. Higgins, for instance. Next year, we're going to see Justin Ross, another guy who's coming out next year who he was competing with. So a really competitive wide receiver room. And he finally broke out this past year. Goes to a great situation. So we just basically have to go, okay, even though he doesn't have a perfect profile that we like to check analytically, we kind of have to move him up a little bit up the board.
Yeah, so it was really funny because, on one hand, Curtis was really behind Amari when we were going back and forth making the case. Blair and Sean had him pretty low. I think I was kind of like in the middle, and then I was a little bit uncomfortable about how high I had originally slated him in when the argument started happening. So I guess, he's one of those players that's probably going to end up being one of the more divisive players that we've seen. Now, we know that the Packers for a number of years have tried to, without really investing in the position, get a second player in there. Could it be Amari? We don't really know. The final question I have about him, though, is he also worked at his pro day as a running back. What are your thoughts on that? Like, do you think that given a function of that, he's the type of player that teams should be trying to use as more than just a receiver?
Yeah, I mean, like, if you just plug in a few different things and look at him, just like with his height and weight, he looks like Ty Montgomery. Like, Ty Montgomery was a guy who came in, he was a wide receiver, but he was built like a running back. And so they're like, let's just put you at running back. And that kind of stuck. And so I think that could definitely happen with Amari Rodgers. It was funny, just this past Saturday, I was talking about Amari Rodgers to a buddy who actually had the opportunity to play against and lose against Amari Rodgers in high school. And he was just talking about how ridiculous Amari was, just taking carries out of the backfield, getting deep targets, burning everyone all over the field, and then playing the other side of the ball. And this was when Amari was a true freshman. Like, he's just been balling for forever. Former four-star kid, just entered a really competitive wide receiver room, didn't check a bunch of boxes. But I think he could be a running back for them if they wanted him to be. But I think somehow, some way, he's going to have a role. So we're probably all still a little bit too low on it.
All right. Well, I think that's a perfectly fair way to end this. Hey, Travis, it was awesome having you on. The next time Curtis is not around, I'm definitely going to be shooting you a message, seeing if we can get you back. I know I've now asked you to do this multiple times, but for the final time, I just want to make sure that people know where they can find you and what you're up to.
Sure. And this time I'll actually say where they can find me in its entirety. So you can find me most of my work written on rotoviz.com. I decided to kind of stop writing for several places and write for one. And it's been fantastic. Rotoviz.com got the top 100 rookie series coming out in a few different segments here. I'm not, depending on when you're listening to it, it's got individual defensive players and offensive players. So if you just want to learn about some fun defensive names or, take a look at basically my top 60 offensive rookies as well, that'll be coming out soon. You can find me on Twitter at @FF_TravisM, on Clubhouse at Titan Travis. And you can check out my podcast, the College to Canton podcast, basically talking about the journey for prospects from recruit through college, all the way to discussions as to if they should be in the Hall of Fame or not. It's a lot of fun. It's on Road of His Radio. Talk about everything through a fantasy football lens, but everything college football and NFL, because that's my thing. But appreciate you having me on, man.
Yeah, no, this was awesome. Appreciate it. We will look forward to getting you back sometime in the future. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Email us at RotoVizFFShow@gmail.com. Visit RotoViz.com/podcast for more information on listener-only discounts. And until next time, thanks for stopping by.